Steve, first of all, team news, how are you looking? Lee Frecklington's the one that most people want to know about. Is he back to 100% yet?
He's fit. Am I going to play him at Wills? People see it at 2 o'clock tomorrow, won't they?
Is that where you are now, in terms of, you know, you've got a few games to go to the playoffs, you're going to manage your squad and do what you have to do to be absolutely ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think we have to. I think as a football person, somebody that winning football matches means more to him than anything else in the world, and I don't say that lightly, because there's a lot of things in your life. I've really, really worked hard in recent weeks to take advice from people who have had successful campaigns. If people are 95% fit, they're not ready, you know. And if they're 95% fit and the playoffs come, that's a totally different discussion. But we've got the bank holiday fixtures to get over with. And when we come out of Port Vale on Monday, and I know there's Molyneux first, and that's our only priority, but when we host Port Vale here on Monday at the New York, when we finish with that, we've got an open training session for our supporters on Tuesday morning. We've got ultra, ultra serious about them being ready for the playoffs.
And you've got no other new injury issues, have you?
No, we're fine. We're good to go. Whether we change one or two tomorrow remains to be seen. We have to be highly respectful of the champions of Wolverhampton Wanderers. They're, for me, deserved champions. I think they've been the... I know the best team always finishes top, but I think me and a lot of Millers fans didn't think that last year. I think we thought we were the best, but I think there's no one would argue that Wolverhampton Wanderers, and I've got the best squad of players, and therefore are the best. We have a fantastic manager, and what is going to be a best attendance in over 33, 34 years at Molyneux tomorrow for them. So it tells you that they're having a party and they're celebrating, and so they should, and we want to go and embrace that day, but also by putting on a performance and showing not just the Lars Miller support who'll travel ways, which is the most important thing, but we also want to show the Wolverhampton public that how good their team has been to finish points in front of Rotherham United.
You went on your travels this weekend, you went over to Holland. Just tell us about that trip, and it's not the first trip you've made out, is it?
No, the Heineken was nice. No. And I'll say this, I've been on four occasions in the last 4 or 5 weeks now, and obviously we looking at identified players, they're saying just something, we've come up with the name of a player or two, and you know, I've watched 5 or 6 different clubs in Holland, not just about the matches, but how they train and how they prepare, both, you know, in training and before matches, etc. So that's been educational. Caught up with some people behind the scenes on the coaching side at Ajax, which was interesting to hear different views on different things. But the real reason for the trips, of course, is to be looking at identified players. And you know, we've done that now, so I'm well aware of what's there, and I'm well aware of what we'd have to do, both as a club in terms of where we are, Championship and League One, or what we'd have to do in terms of what the club would need to be doing financially to attract these players. And so we're well aware of the full picture.
Why have you targeted Holland in particular?
Well, we've not targeted it in particular. We just became aware of some players that would like to ply their trade in English football. And that comes from our scouting network, which has been great this year. You know, it's not just about the 3 or 4 people that work on it all the time, but it's who they know and who they don't know. And the people that they know have identified certain players that would like to be playing their next move into English football. And they're the players that we've gone to look at. And when you go and look at a game, of course, you always see perhaps one or two more. You know, it's, you know, never let your eyes deceive you, but I picked a player up at FC20 who's gone to the Bundesliga for 15 million. I suggested to the chairman he might just be too rich for us. The chairman was with me on that occasion, smoked his cigar and agreed. It's not a case where you arrive there and you look at a team sheet and you pre-educate yourself with who's playing and what your reports are. You know, say this to supporters, if you ever go to a neutral game, don't look at the team sheet, put it in your pocket and pick out the best players. And just look at the names. I'd done that at an under-18 international last night. I'd put the team sheet in my pocket. It doesn't take you too long when you pick it out that these lads play with top clubs.
Is there potentially better value out on the continent? I mean, the English football and English players tend to cost a lot of money, whether you're talking about the top level or whether it filters down. Are there potentially bargains, if you want to use that word, to be had out there in Europe?
Well, I wouldn't really know. And I would only know that if Paul Douglas, who does our chief executive who does our financial negotiations, if it ever got that far, then he'd be telling me. But believe me, there's still some terrific value in England, you know. And it's, I've listened to, you know, one or two local clubs, especially one club, saying that they're going to win promotion next year and nonsense like that, you know. And but all we can be rest assured is I believe we'll be stronger next season, and we're already not bad, aren't we? So you're going to have to finish above us. if we're in League One.
Mm. But of course, I mean, you don't want to be in League One, but I mean, are you planning for all eventualities? Are you looking at sort of Holland and maybe some players in this country that it doesn't matter what division you're going to be in next year, Steve, you're still going to be able to bring those players in?
Oh, yeah, that the plan is we have a number of players that we'd like to bring, but everything is geared around to, you're right, there's a standard platform, whether you're in the Championship or whether you're in League One. You know, whether we're in the Championship or League One, our pre-season campaign in terms of our trip will be in Scotland. We've got a position that we've already agreed to play, which will be announced next week. So that's whether we're Championship or League One. It's got no relevance. Her date is coming back for the new season. Has got no relevance to whether we'll be Championship or League One. So that's all part and parcel of it. But there is some players that it's fair to say that are on our list that we possibly only would have a chance of them if we were playing Championship football. And sometimes perhaps supporters wouldn't realise this, but a lot of the time, Rob, it doesn't come down to whether you can pay somebody an extra £50 a week more or not. It comes down to a player wants to play at a particular level and would possibly take less to play in the Championship than what it would do to recruit them into League One, because you're having to almost financially induce them to help you come along. But so in respect to players, it'd be some players would say no to League One because they have Championship football in their mind. But certainly the players we've looked at, we'd like to think we can get them here, whatever level we're at.
Amid all the excitement of the playoffs and the promotion push, you know, we are actually getting to the end of the season now. You've got players in your squad that are going to be out of contract in the summer. Have you held talks to them about doing new deals? Have you got that far, or do you wait till everything's finished?
Yeah, I think there's not very many that could actually walk out this football club if it's through the choice of Rotherham United, because there's options and different things enclosed in contracts without me being specific to any player. But you're right in what you're saying. You know, if we're in the Championship versus League One, would that maybe change your thought process with one or two players? Yes, it would. Of course it would. Because you have to accept if you were in the Championship, the benchmark is up again. And I think it'll already be up next season. I think if you look at who's likely to come down from the Championship, and there's a lot of fighting going on there with some great results, no more so than Barnsley's midweek. So there's some good teams going to be coming down. There's going to be some cash rates teams like Chesterfield possibly coming up, so it's we're going to have to look at all that and make sure that we get true value for money. And that's all our chairman ever asks Paul Douglas or myself to get when we sign a player, is get us good value for money.
How important is finishing third, do you think?
Well, it's important if you believe that you'd rather have the second leg at home. Third or fourth gives you that. Is it an advantage? Because again, some managers in the playoffs have said it's actually, they prefer to go away in the second leg when the pressure absolutely mounts on the home team. Because if you're the home team and you're coming back from a 1 or 2 nil deficit, if you've not scored in the first 10, 15 minutes, that fantastic crowd you've got behind you, suddenly not behind you, they're on the fence and they can be negative. So, but from Steve Evans' point of view, I'd rather be in third. Why would I rather be third? Because I can't be second. And why would I rather be fourth? Because I can't be third. And I think you must always aspire to be as high as you can. That's why I've always said to footballers, they must aspire to play as high as they can. If we don't want to attract any footballers here on the basis of wages if they've got a Championship option. They should be signing for the Championship club, dear me. And that's our thought process.
And presumably, if you do finish above Leighton, Orienton, Preston, you're going to go into the playoffs with some form as well, because I don't think anybody expects that they're going to finish poorly.
No, I think they'll finish strong. I think arguably we've had the toughest run of the season in the last number of games, but you know, let's just break everything down. We've had a really poor performance at Bramall Lane, a 90th minute goal converted by Mike Dean, and what you'd say to that is that we've lost one game, a 90th minute harshly given penalty, since the 1st of January. It's incredible form. So we're in terrific form. We bounced back after Bramall Lane. I thought a stunning second half performance against Bradford. I think the TV cameras seen us play some super football. They seen us once again on the raw end of some poor refereeing decisions and not giving us penalty kicks. And people say to me, I continually moan about not being given penalties, because they're penalties, not because I'm coming out and looking in and back on DVDs and thinking they're not. So we're in super form, and we need to be in super form tomorrow.
Last year, when it got to sort of this stage in the season, your players and, you know, this group really got the bit between the teeth and went on a fantastic run. When you look at your players this year, do you see that sort of similar look?
Yeah, because we've been in this run since the 1st of January, haven't we? We've, like we just said, we've lost one game in 18. And if we hadn't got that type of run-up, we wouldn't be in the playoffs. Mm. We'd be mid-table. And if we hadn't got the run last year, we'd still be sitting in League Two. But if you break it down to stats, and stats can hide a magnitude of problems, or it can endorse what you're thinking. But, you know, if we had the same points returned from the matches played in League One at this time last season, we'd be top of the table. And if we dropped into League Two today, we'd be top of the table.
And so from that point of view, it's... let me turn that dog out of the office. It's fun, really. We'd be
fantastic. So we just have to keep focused. Remember what the big objective is, and the big objective is to try and win a promotion that no one in football has given us a chance of.
Do you still feel slightly aggrieved when you think back to the Wolves game at the New York Stadium that you didn't get 3 points in that one?
Is that what the lads call, not me, but the lads call the Michael Oliver phantom penalty? I think it is, isn't it? You know, no one else seen it. The DVD don't see it, but hey, listen, I don't question Michael Oliver's integrity. He's thought he's seen something. No one else seen it, but he's thought he's seen it, and he's given it. And listen, that game had two stages to it. We were 3-1 up and very, very comfortable. Probably looking like four or five. But you know what? What a resilience they had. They got the break with the penalty. They equalised and possibly should have gone on and beat us. So they had a fantastic last 20 minutes in that game. And that's a sign of why they're champions, because they got a break and then they took advantage of the break, and that happens in football. So we don't hold MD accountable on a long-term basis of moving forward for not giving us penalties. And, you know, I've noted with interest that since that day out, and I've seen Michael Oliver on a number of occasions, that match referee, he's had an outstanding season, but he just had a bad day.
When you look at Wolves, and you mentioned it earlier that, you know, they're packing out Molineux, I think they took 9,000 to the MK Dons a few weeks ago, a lot of momentum about that club, everyone expects them to go on and win the title, but how much would you love to go there and just upset the party for another week?
Well, I want my team to play particularly well. I think I touched on that. I want the Wolverhampton public to think, you know, we're that good, we have a number of points in front of this team, and they've just come and played like that. And I've watched DVD footage this week of them absolutely destroying the likes of Brentford, and I've watched them destroy the likes of Peterborough, and I don't mean just beat, actually take apart. And so we know how tough it's going to be, and the Wolverhampton supporters, they're good people, they're tremendous supporters. You know, to look at the way they come and conducted themselves at Rotherham in that 3-3 draw, they'll be up for a party, they'll be up for singing, they'll be up for dancing. But we're taking our hard support with us, we'll take our allocation, and we'll take 2,500 millers down there, and just let's see what could be on a weekly basis next season.
Of course, they signed Nwadiko, and you came very close to bringing him back here, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. And Kenny said he's seen him in Blackpool. I think he's seen him in Rotherham against Wolves when he scored twice. I think that's when he's seen him. And listen, he's a terrific kid. I still get messages from now. We still wish him on a personal level every success. And at the end of the day, there was Wigan Athletic said it, there was 8 or 9 clubs coming for Noah. It came down to us, the Wolves. And, you know, when you see the stadium at Molineux, and when you see the potential of 32,000 and 33,000 fans turning up there tomorrow, and when you see what they're all about and the infrastructure they've got, listen, I say people should aspire to play higher. I've got no qualms with his decision, although I would have preferred him to pick the Millers.
Wolves have done tremendously well this year, but you can't get away from the fact that the parachute payments has, without a shadow of a doubt, helped them this year as well, because they have been able to sign the likes of Dicko or Leon Clark or Kevin McDonald at the start of the year. They've essentially been able to sign the players who've done well in League One.
Look how good those three players you've just mentioned are. Kevin McDonald. I think there was a flood in Sheffield when he walked out of there and went to Wolves, for obvious reasons. And then you look at Nwadiko and you look at Leon Clark when you're in January and you're any football manager in League One or Championship, and you're thinking, I want to sign two strikers. What Leon has played for me and Noah has played for me, both exceptional. What a strengthening process that was. And as much as we can all sit back and say, is football unfair when they get such an advantage with the parachute payments? I read a document the other day that somebody printed off and gave to me with the owner over there, Steve Morgan, a chap I've never spoken to in my life. I think they've put something like £27 million in this season to supplement the parachutes to allow them to pay a wage bill of about £33-34 million. It's an incredible achievement. But Jez Moxey is a chief executive who runs that club fearlessly, and he's got a good manager, and Kenny Jackett. And listen, we only wish that football club every success. You know, and up until 3 o'clock tomorrow, we'll be the best of friends. And like should happen in football, between 3 and 5, you're enemies. At 5 o'clock, you should be friends again.
Just to finish, there was a great night last night for the club in hosting the England under-18s against Germany. Over 9,000 people there. And it sounds like it was such a positive night that there may be more evenings like that at the New York Stadium, which is a big deal for this town, isn't it?
What an endorsement for the town of Rotherham. Almost 9,500 Rotherham people, families, if you like. Mm. A lot of children coming to support an England side that got a late victory, of course, which also helps. But, you know, I was fortunate spending the evening with Gareth Southgate, of course, who I've known for a long time, but he's the current England under-21 boss, and Sir Trevor Brooking and people like that. And listen, they've gone away absolutely overwhelmed with the atmosphere that was created, and that's the supporters, with the playing surface, which is our ground staff, which is a bowling green, and the chairman and his directors and all the other staff that made sure that everyone from England and Germany, of course, had an evening that couldn't be any better. And I'm very, very hopeful after chatting to some of those guys late in the night that England will be back. And we want to progress. We had England ladies, which was a great occasion last year. England under-18s last night, which was fantastic. The next natural progression is to see Gareth Southgate ladies 21s here. I think that'll happen.